ever feel like there's got to be like a better way to lead it, not just being the boss, but something more, you know? Well, get this. We're diving into this article today, all about something called participative leadership. And it might just change how you think about teamwork, for real.
Interesting.
So whether you're already leading a team, hoping to someday, or even just want to understand your own workplace better, stick with us.
Okay.
This deep dive, it's for you.
I'm ready.
Okay, so first things first, what is participative leadership? Like, how's it different from just being in charge?
Right.
This article, it kind of paints a picture, right? Instead of one person calling all the shots, it's about building consensus, sharing power, getting everyone's ideas on the table, that kind of thing.
Interesting. So it's less about like top-down control and more about what, collaboration?
Exactly. And the best part is, studies show it actually works. Like, we're talking higher productivity and people are happier at work.
Wow, no kidding. Both at the same time. That's got to be tricky.
I know, right? Makes you wonder what the secret sauce is.
It really does. It's not just about being nice, though that helps, I'm sure. I think the real magic happens when you actually give people ownership over their work.
Oh, interesting.
Like, when they feel heard, when their ideas are valued, they get more invested in the outcome. It's human nature.
Totally. And it's not just some touchy-feely theory either, right? I mean, the article mentioned research backing this up.
Oh, yeah. Tons of it. This stuff's been studied like crazy. Participative leadership, it's linked to way more engagement, higher job satisfaction, the whole nine yards.
I like it. And speaking of examples, the article used this one about an office move, and it really clicked for me. Imagine this. Autocratic leader, they pick the new place, tell everyone to deal with it, boom, done.
Ouch. Sounds kind of harsh.
Right. But a participative leader, they'd maybe form a committee, have people scope out different spots.
Oh.
Actually discuss the pros and cons, maybe even get the team involved in planning the logistics. It's a totally different vibe.
Night and day. Okay, I'm starting to see why this is a big deal. So what are some of the big wins? The article mentioned advantages, right?
Oh, yeah. A whole bunch. One of the most interesting for me was trust. Like, how it gets built differently in this kind of environment.
Right, because it's not just about, well, you're the boss, so I have to trust you.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. It's earned, not assumed.
And that comes from the leader being transparent, being sincere, open about how decisions are made, actually valuing everyone's two cents.
It makes sense, though, right? Like, if you feel like your leader's being straight with you, you're more likely to trust their judgment, even if you don't always agree with every little thing.
100%. It's about respect.
Totally. Okay, so the article also goes into teamwork, and it's not just about, you know, everyone working in the same building. They're suggesting participative leadership can lead to real bonds between colleagues.
Really? Like actual friendships, hanging out outside of work, that sort of thing?
Yeah. They even use the phrase spilling over into socializing outside of work.
Wow, that's cool. Have you seen that happen much yourself?
Definitely. I've been on teams where, like, the more we collaborated, the closer we got. It was like we weren't just colleagues anymore, you know?
I feel that. Shared purpose can really do that, can it? So what else is in this article? This is good stuff.
Okay, so then there's employee engagement. Apparently, and this blew my mind, over half of employees feel kind of meh about their jobs. No. Like, not really connected.
Whoa, seriously? More than half?
Yeah, the article cited a Gallup poll, 54% to be exact.
That is wild. Okay, so this participative leadership, maybe it's not just a nice to have then. Maybe it's like mission critical if we want people to actually care about their work.
Right, and that's what I'm loving about this whole deep dive. It's not just theory. It's like, okay, how do we actually fix this stuff?
For real.
So the article suggests that giving people a voice, like really involving them in decisions, that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, make them feel like they're actually part of something bigger. Love it.
And get this, they also talk about diversity, but not in the usual way. It's like, yeah, check the boxes, but then go beyond that.
How so?
They're saying participative leadership actually helps you use that diversity as a strength. Different perspectives lead to better solutions.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Two heads are better than one and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And last but not least, there's innovation. I mean, who hasn't had a good idea at work but been too nervous to speak up?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Especially when you're new somewhere. You don't want to rock the boat.
Right. But with this style, that open flow of ideas, it's encouraged.
That's got to be freeing for people to feel like they can actually contribute.
It really is. But there's always a but. Right. Makes you wonder what the downsides are. Like, can you really please everyone all the time?
Good point. And something tells me probably not. But hey, maybe that's okay.
Yeah, because if everyone's always happy, are you really getting honest feedback? Something to think about. But yeah, this article, it does mention some challenges with participative leadership. Not going to sugarcoat it.
Right. Got to keep it real. So what are we up against?
Well, the first one kind of surprised me. It's vision. And you'd think, like, okay, more voices, more ideas, vision's going to be easier to come by, right?
Yeah, you'd assume so.
But the article actually says it's even more important for the leader to have a strong vision in this style.
Why is that?
Because that shared vision, it's like the foundation for everything else. If it's not rock solid, all that collaboration, it could go in a million different directions.
Oh, I get it. So it's not just about deciding how to get things done. It's making sure everyone's on the same page about what you're even aiming for and why.
Yeah. Exactly. And that naturally leads to the next challenge, communication, which, let's be honest, can be a make or break thing for any team.
Oh, tell me about it. And some people, they're just naturally better at it than others.
For sure. So what do you do if you've got a team where, like, not everyone's a smooth talker? How do you make that work?
Well, the article had some good tips, actually, like even doing workshops on communication skills or those team building exercises, you know.
Right. Those can be fun.
Exactly. Oh. Anything that gets people comfortable sharing their thoughts, even if they're still working on, like, the whole public speaking aspect.
Love that. Okay. So we've got vision, communication.
Mm-hmm.
What else do leaders need to watch out for on this participative journey?
This one's big, and it's time. Because let's be real, getting everyone on board, it takes longer than just, okay, I decided, we're doing this.
Oh, for sure. That's got to be tough for some leaders to adjust to, especially if they're used to, like, quick decisions.
It is. But the article, it actually frames that extra time as an investment. Like, yeah, it might slow you down up front, but the buy-in you get, that pays off later.
Because when people feel like they're actually part of the plan,
right,
they're going to work harder to make it happen.
You got it. And that kind of ties into the next challenge, which is structure. Now, before you think we're going all rigid corporate here,
right,
it's not about that. It's more about having some ground rules, some clear processes, so things don't turn into total chaos.
Okay. So, like, agendas for meetings. Maybe having a point person to keep things on track,
yeah,
especially if there are a lot of voices in the room.
Exactly. It's about giving just enough structure to make the collaboration actually productive. And that can be tough to find that balance.
It really is. And I imagine this also plays into boundaries, which the article mentioned too. Even with the best intentions, sometimes too much input can be, like, too much, you know?
100%. And the authors, they make a really good point. Leaders have to be smart about which decisions need everyone's input and which ones maybe a smaller team or even one expert can handle better.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Imagine trying to pick a new company logo, right? Get everyone's opinion on that. You'll be there all year. Sometimes a design team, they're better equipped to make that call.
So it's about knowing when to zoom in, when to zoom out.
Yeah.
And making sure everyone feels empowered to contribute at the right times.
Exactly. This is getting kind of nuanced, right?
It is. But that's what makes it so interesting, I think. Like, it's not just black and white. There's a lot of gray area in how you actually do participative leadership well.
For sure. Ready to tackle a couple more challenges before we wrap this up?
Hit me. What else do we need to keep in mind?
So next up is dissent. Because even if you're aiming for consensus, not everyone's going to agree with every single decision, right? That's just life.
Right. And probably not even a good sign if they did, honestly.
Exactly. The article actually talks about how important it is to be upfront about that. Like, yeah, everyone's voice matters, but at the end of the day, the team commits to the decision, even if it wasn't their top choice.
So healthy debate is good, maybe even some disagreement, but then you come together and support whatever you landed on.
Exactly. Which brings us to the last challenge, and it's a big one. Decisiveness.
Okay, so even with all this collaboration, there are times when the leader just has to lead, make the call.
Yep. Sometimes you just can't have a committee for everything, especially when it's something time sensitive or maybe involves confidential info.
Right, right.
There's always going to be those moments where a leader needs to step up and make that judgment call. It's unavoidable.
This has been eye-opening, I got to say.
Like, yeah.
There's more to this participative leadership thing than I realized. It's a real skill.
Totally. It takes practice. And you got to be willing to adapt, you know? Every team's different. Every workplace is different.
Right.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution.
That's so true. Which actually brings us back to why we wanted to do this deep dive in the first place.
Yeah.
Whether you're, like, gunning for a management role, trying to make your team the best it can be,
mm-hmm,
even just figuring out how you fit into the mix, understanding these principles can really make a difference.
100%. And you know what? There's this one question the article ended on that really stuck with me. I think it's something worth chewing on.
Ooh, Okay, just lay it on me. What's the question?
They asked, how could your work become more meaningful if you use some of these ideas, even in little ways?
Ooh, I like that. It's like you don't have to be the CEO to make a difference, right?
Exactly. We all have influence, no matter what our job title is. Even small changes, how we talk to each other, how we work together, it can ripple outwards.
Totally. Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dives into participative leadership.
That flew by.
It really did. So, big thanks to you for joining me. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Likewise. Always love these conversations.
And to all our listeners, if you want to learn more, the article mentioned that JB Coaches has a bunch of resources on their website. It's jbcoaches.com, right?
That's right. Lots of good stuff over there.
Awesome. So until next time, everyone, keep those leadership skills sharp. And remember, sometimes the best leader is the one who empowers others to lead too.